What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back, George Norrie with you. Let me tell you about Stephen Mara, the principal investigator for the Project Doorway, along with his partner, Barry Fitzgerald. He's a television personality, author of several books, and a head tutor and co-producer of what is called the UITC, Investigators Training Course in Ufology Studies. Stephen is also the CEO of Phenomena Magazine and the Awakening Expo in the UK, with more than 40 years of active investigation and research experience. Stephen, welcome back to the program. You were on with my colleague Connie Willis almost 2 years ago.
Well, that's right, George. I've been certainly busy since then, but it's, as always, it's an honor to be on the show. I've been looking forward to be able to share some of the recent information regarding the work that we've been doing. We've certainly been busy over the last couple of years, but I always like to come on Coast to Coast. It's our number one location for all our researchers, including myself, to find out what's going on in the world. So thank you for that, George.
You're welcome, and you do a great job with Barry as well. Tell us what Project Doorway is, Stephen.
Well, Project Doorway started for us around about 10 years ago. I'd come from a paranormal background. I came into the subject of ufology through my parapsychological and paranormal research. Barry had also kind of been involved in the same studies as me. And when we came together, we started to realize that there were a lot of commonalities between the paranormal and ufological. And it was just, you know what, George, some things just didn't fit well regarding the subject of ufology. So we really wanted to conduct a very thorough investigation and research, an advanced study involving going around the world, conducting tests, and bringing forward the most critical and up-to-date information to try and find out what the phenomena really truly exists and what it consists really. Because the problem that we have today is that we have a bit of a narrative in regarding what UFOs represent, but the evidence doesn't seem to support it.
Not at all. Are you familiar with what's been going on in the United States with these hearings that aren't going anywhere?
I am, George. And you know what? It's no surprise to me, to be honest with you. I mean, we can go back many, many years to the Citizens Against Ufology movement and getting nothing but redacted papers. We've tried and tried and tried. And the problem is for us is that it's getting very frustrating that we seem to be just going around in circles, though that it does seem that they have an obligation to the general public to pursue the study of what UFOs are and try and find answers to give to the public what they represent. We always seem to run into a brick wall, George, and that's the problem, really.
And they talk about evidence, Stephen. Have you encountered anything that you can share with us?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, during our experiences through research, I mean, we take into consideration that the first UFO-type entities that you might refer these things to, non-human intelligences seems to be the new name on the street, George. The extraterrestrial hypothesis, ETs, seem to be taking a back step now. And I think that's a narrative. I think that's a way forward into sort of suggesting these things aren't exactly, you know, extraterrestrial in origin as we generally think. And the evidence that we've discovered over the years is that these things first turned up around the seance tables, around special parapsychological experiments, not in connection to UFOs. And then, of course, later on, you know, we realize that these sorts of same things are being seen in connection to UFO encounters and experiences. We've witnessed around these experiments ourselves, and we've also witnessed the phenomena firsthand out in the field during our experiments.
Tell us more about Barry Fitzgerald, your partner.
Well, Barry's been involved for about 35 years in the subject. Most people will probably know him from being one of the lead investigators at Ghost Hunters International. It was a television show featuring a team that went around the world looking into studying the paranormal phenomena. But Barry's real interest is about, you know, the connection of UFOs to ancient sites, how it connects to the paranormal phenomena. A lot of the strange myths or tales or legends that we hear, there's actually some very strong truths to them.
No question about it. What do you think of the Bible as it is directly related to UFO stories?
Well, that's really interesting, George, because there's a lot of information that's seemingly coming out. I've been monitoring the work of Professor Diana Pasulka, and she's done some incredible work. And she's had, you know, she's been able to do something which I could only dream to do, and that is to have access to the Vatican archives, unattended, that is. And that's worth a dream come true for me. And she's managed to look at some of the source material in regarding these ancient biblical experiences with angels, with cupids, with the lady, Our Lady Mary, you know, cherubs. But in the source material that she's discovered, she's been very vocal about this, George. The source material suggests none of these experiences were actually truly documented in the Bibles. They've been twisted and changed. These encounters were with things which were presumably not even human, non-human intelligences, which conducted experiments on them. Some people were, you know, monks and priests were injured by the phenomena, which they put down. They turned it into the wounds of Christ when it was nothing to do. They were burn marks from the phenomena. And when we did our own research, we also discovered that this phenomenon is age old. I mean, it might actually predate our documentation of history. It's been here forever, George. And the thing is that I think we're misinterpreting. And I think also the Vatican have done that in biblical writings. They've twisted it around to make it something more religious connotation as opposed to what the real incident actually consisted of.
Stephen, not to negate God by any means, but is it conceivable that many things in the Bible are directly related to UFO encounters and extraterrestrials, such as Jesus?
Absolutely, George. I mean, you know, I mean, one of the most, people kind of forget, the most paranormal book on the shelf is probably the Holy Bible in its many forms. And it's very interesting when you look at the detailed incidents, not so much of what they represent, but what the capabilities of this phenomena was, be it the Holy Spirit or be it something else. The problem is that the terminology changes, but the phenomena has seemingly always been present. And what we tend to do with our Project Doorway is that we follow the phenomena, we track the phenomena back in time. We don't crack the mask, because the mask seems to be forever changing. There's different interpretations for this phenomena. And also, the phenomena can represent itself or present itself in a way that is not that varies from time to time. So cracking the mask is very, very difficult because it's always changing on a world scope. But following the phenomena has always stayed the same for countless of thousands of years.
What about the tie-in with strange cryptid encounters, Stephen?
Well, the thing is, when it comes to cryptid encounters, we have a bit of a problem because we know that, you know, we have the Bigfoot incidents that take place throughout the US and Canada and a couple of other places around the world, but we also have them things in the UK, in the middle of towns, George. I mean, we're a very, very small island. There's no place for an animal like that could exist.
Right.
Anybody who knows about tracking these large animals, they need a large food source. These things are appearing in small towns, very close to me, in a very small park where a number of witnesses saw these things. Some of these are most definitely metaphysical phenomena. The same type of metaphysics that we are dealing with in regarding the UFO phenomena and the occupants are seemingly seen. We find a connection between these things because of a number of things. The sulfur smell that's often associated, the bad odours which are associated to the UFOs, the paranormal, the demological, the cryptids. And not just that, George, but you know what? These things aren't, like, you'd think that these things are predators. In the UK, we get a lot of dogmen type incidents. Now, you could say these look a little bit like werewolves, and people are absolutely sincere that they've experienced these things. I've interviewed people, and they've been in absolute shock and tears. I can see that they've had this experience. I believe that they've seen this thing and experienced these things. The thing is, for me, is that these things can't exist in as a normal living creature. And apart from that, they don't act like a predator would do. Any predator would pursue it's grey, and in many cases, when these things are chasing people in the UK, on occasion, some of them might stumble or fall or come face to face with this thing. At that point, a normal predator is, you know, there's a meal ticket there, George, but no, that's not the case. These predators, it's like the game is up. I don't know what to do now. And they just run away. It seems to me that the incidents in the UK seem to be somehow connected to generating fear and stress, vexation. It's about fear feeding. It's very similar to the poltergeist phenomena, but a physical phenomena is taking place, obtaining the same results.
And doesn't Dogman apparently walk on its hind legs?
It does, George. I mean, you know, to most people, some people have said, you know, this was a werewolf. But, you know, the UK and throughout all of Europe has a very rich history about dogmen. But it doesn't stop there. If we started to do research back in time to the ancient Sumerian days. Now, ancient demonology, the Sumerian demons are dogmen. They're dog-headed beings. And also, we started looking across into other countries, Africa, India. There were temples in India, George, that have got sculptures on the side of them of dogmen. Now, this is a phenomenon that's been going on for quite some time. It does stretch around the world, but Europe has a very, very, very rich history in dogmen sightings, and they've been very well documented over hundreds and hundreds of years.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
What is this work you've been doing between positive magnetic anomalies and gravitational anomalies?
Well, what we wanted to do, George, we wanted to look around the world to find out why do so many UFOs seemingly appear and are encountered or seen in given areas. Now, we have to take into consideration it's an intelligent phenomena that has been monitoring. It loves to monitor us. It watches us all the time. It loves to even monitor our skirmishes and battles and wars over the years. And sometimes they'd even intervene and change history to some degree. Now, what we look at is that, well, if we're looking at so many UFOs around the world, what we've got to do is probably do the best statistics that we can find in regards how many are being seen. Now, trying to get every country to cooperate is very difficult. And also, not every country gathers data on UFO incidents. But out of the countries that we did look at, we got statistics back. And when we looked at the statistics, there was a huge amount of UFOs seen on a regular basis. Now, just looking at 24 hours of a single day on planet Earth, we could be looking at a UFO is probably seen around between 10 and 20 seconds. Now, we have to be conservative and say, okay, some of them might be misidentifications, some of them might be for hoaxes, but it still leaves a huge amount. Where are they all coming from? Well, we realise that there doesn't seem to be enough data as to that they're coming from space. When we talked to SETI guys, to get the scientists at SETI, they said something quite unusual. They said, well, space is unusually quiet. And they're not seeing a huge traffic. There's no superhighway traffic going backwards and forwards to Earth because they leave ionospheric disturbances, and that wouldn't be the case. And as far as we know, we're trying to figure out, well, where are they all coming from? But when we started to look, we took 2,000 cases worldwide, some of the best known documented cases in the world, and we looked at the locations. And surprisingly, utilizing satellite technology, a number of satellites orbiting Earth that are conducting regular surveillance of magnetics, regular surveillance of gravitational disturbances, we discovered that a huge amount, 97% of them, fell into positive magnetic regions, and that cannot be purely by accident. And we realized that this was the case when we started visiting some of these locations. And it's much to say that some of these locations are out in the deserts, out in the mountains. They're away from normal, you know, they're away from people. This phenomena does like to have its remoteness. And sometimes, you know, when we go to those locations, phenomena presents itself to us. In other words, we reversed the science and proved the hypothesis that these locations are very active, and we believe that the phenomena is manifesting there, not traveling in from out of space, but manifesting, going about their business, and sometimes returning to those locations and manifesting. In other words, they just pop into our reality and then sometimes just pop out.
Why do you think the tie-in between the magnetic anomalies and UFOs?
Well, we believe, George, you know, what we discovered is we talked with a number of scientists, and this came to be because we did some studies in regarding magnetic anomalies, and we were doing some researching on the internet, and suddenly there was a reference to these new types of doors being fitted in hospitals, like recovery wards after operations. There's one door in of this room, this recovery room, and there's one door out. But it's a very unusual door. It's a large door with a positive magnetic field around it. So when we started to ask questions about this, we discovered that the result of the reasons why they built these doors was to stop bacteria passing through that barrier. It was, you know, bacteria do not like positive magnetic anomalies. So if that is the case, then the manifestation of this phenomenon in those key areas are coming into safe zones, areas where there's lower bacteria. And, of course, departing. I suppose it's a bit like a person who conducts an operation, who's doing a scrub-up. You know, they come into that environment clean, they leave it clean at the end of it. It seems that that might be the association to why this phenomenon is picking these locations of positive magnetic anomalies.
Truly remarkable. Do you believe these extraterrestrials are coming from other worlds or deep within the planet?
Well, let's have a look. I mean, 8 years ago, George, myself and Barry came forward and said, there's a number of things that we're expecting to come along and change, and it's on its way. The first thing was that, you know, there's going to be a lot of talk about unmanned aerial vehicles, and they're going to be assumed to be UFOs. And in some cases, some people might refer to them as UAP or UFO. But the fact is, I believe that we have some incredible, not unpiloted vehicles that have the capabilities of travelling at incredible speeds. And boy, aren't we seeing that all over the world. I've got official documents from Israel. Now, the Israelis have never had a problem in their official documentation saying the word UFO, you know, when they believed they were dealing with UFOs. But I've got documentation, George, that says the Israelis on many occasions have documented what they say EIA drones over their facilities. They scramble their jets and they're wasting the time because these things are traveling at such an incredible speed. Not only are they so difficult to even see sometimes because they're traveling so fast, and they describe them as pill-shaped, and they refer to them as CIA drones, not UFOs. The second thing we mentioned also is that the terminology regarding extraterrestrials or the extraterrestrial hypothesis is going to disappear. And it is doing, George. If we look at the studies now and look at what all the people in the hierarchy of the study of UFOs or UAP, they're saying one thing now. They're saying non-human intelligences. That means not necessarily are they coming from outer space. I think the narrative is starting to change. We're starting to see the clues. We stated this was going to happen some years ago. And now what's happening, George, we've got NASA came out roughly 6 months ago in September and said, you know, that they know that UFOs are witnessed and documented and have been recorded, but there don't seem to be evidence to support that they are extraterrestrial in origin. And look at the new report that's only just come out from Arrow, which is the Pentagon UFO program. Saying exactly the same conclusion, that they don't believe there's evidence to support that they are extraterrestrial in origin. So the big question mark is, what we stated 8 years ago, is where exactly are they coming from?
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.